Amen. I greet you this morning in the worthy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've entitled this devotional, Mystery and Knowledge. On Friday, after the Friday service, several of us were talking about recent events and how we view human mistakes in the overall sovereignty of God. And this got me thinking about the mystery surrounding God. And on a lighter note, Warren and LaVon and I figured it all out, so just asked one of us afterwards to explain it. Not really. I'm guessing as long as we are on this side of eternity, we will continue to wrestle with these questions. And it was helpful for me in the discussion to hear from two brothers, and I was reminded again of the value of brotherhood and brotherhood input. I can become pretty self-centered and think that my perspective is right. But as soon as it's tested with another theory or another perspective, if I'm humble, I recognize that there's also an aspect that other brothers and sisters can bring in that gives, I think, a fuller picture of us trying to understand this concept. You've probably heard this, but I believe if we understood correctly everything that happens, then God would no longer be God. And so there is an aspect of mystery with God that sometime or other in our life, and maybe many times in life, we just come back to saying, but there's something about God that we don't understand. And how he works. I would like to read a number of scriptures of mysteries that God does want to reveal to us. I picked them out of the New Testament. And so it's not that everything that is mysterious is God wants to keep hidden. And so I will read a number of scriptures. First from Mark 4, verses 11 and 12. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. So Jesus here is talking about the mystery of the kingdom, and he's saying that it is revealed to those who come, I'm going to say with an open heart, ready to see. Ephesians 1, 7 through 12, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So here Paul is saying that in Christ he wants to make known to us the mystery of his will. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So here Paul is saying that he wants to take to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And then I'd like to read from Colossians 1, 24 through 29 in the English Standard Version. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. These are just a sampling of mysteries that God does want to reveal to us. But I think we all know that there is a mystery about God that we will not know, and that's okay. You know, as we wrestle with questions, you know, surrounding recently Jeremy Yoder's death, Sanford's son, and the others that you can think of that you've wrestled with, I would like to suggest a first and second view of mystery and knowledge. Mystery is the first, and knowledge is the second. Because there is an aspect of pursuing and knowing that is good, but we need to keep it in perspective of mystery. And so if mystery is the first thing, then we recognize we won't understand everything. But it doesn't mean we just sit back and say, well, God's God, and so we don't pursue knowledge. And as Stephen Brubaker would say, if you separate the two, so if we just believe in mystery, we can have a fatalistic, careless approach to life. And so someone dies, and we say, well, it was God's will. But if it's a careless act, then is that, maybe it's too much holding the mystery as the only thing. But if we just have knowledge, we have to know and we demand answers and come up with conclusions that may be detrimental to our faith. And so I suggest, as Stephen Brubaker did, that we keep the two together, but we always keep mystery first and knowledge second. I made a comment on Friday morning in our conversation that I believe knowledge can lead to worship, but there is an aspect of mystery that especially leads to worship. I think mostly because I all of a sudden realize I can't figure this out, and there is a mind greater than me that and when I recognize that, then I recognize that is God, and I worship because he is greater. But I believe knowledge also leads to worship. And so if we take them as a first and second thing, we are led to worship. Now, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 111 and 113, I would like to read this in conclusion to lead your thoughts in worship of this God who is mysterious but also wants to be known. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Would you bow in prayer? Our gracious Father, we come before you this morning. Indeed, we do desire to worship, to bow our hearts to you. You are a great God. And God, we just acknowledge that there is a mystery about you that we don't understand. And I pray, Father, that we could embrace the first and second thing of mystery and knowledge. Embrace them both. And I pray, Lord, that that experience then could lead us to worship of who you are, of the things we don't understand about you, and the things that we do. And I pray that both would lead us to worship. Lord, we've met in an attempt to do that here this morning, and so I pray for each heart here that they may be able to put away the idols that we've created and destroy them and worship only you. Bless the Sunday school time. Thank you for each teacher. Bless them with wisdom in teaching their class. And I pray for each student that each could be a participant in learning in the knowledge of you and also in the mystery of you. Go with us and further direct this service, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.